Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we will be exploring Manzanita, a charming beach community of about 700 full-time residents at the northernmost edge of Tillamook County, or the southern part of Clatsop County, the first community town actually after Cannon Beach. Today in the studio, I have Dan Haig. Dan is the Manzanita Visitor Center Coordinator. Hi, Dan.
Hi, good morning.
So happy to have you in the studio.
Pleased to be here. Thank you.
Looking forward to catching up about what's happening. And Manzanita was in the news because of the big tornado last year. So we're going to find out about a lot of things, Manzanita. But before we do that, please tell the listening audience a bit about yourself.
Well, I originally migrated out here in 1991 from Minnesota, and I've been working my way south. I settled in Warrenton, down to Cannon Beach, and down to my current place in Nehalem, just outside of Manzanita.
And what drew you to the Oregon coast, Dan?
Oh, you know, I didn't really know at the time till I got here, and now I know I can't leave. So everything that everybody loves about it, just times 10, weather, environment, everything.
And your career before you got into being the Manzanita Visitor Center Coordinator, what kinds of things did you do before?
Well, I imagine like most folks out here, I've had a lot of hats that I've had to wear, waiting tables. I've written for the Cannon Beach Gazette. I've worked at several retail places along the way, managed a couple of museums down in Tillamook County, so... it's been a wild ride.
A little bit of everything, which
yes.
is wonderful because that gives you that background to actually be at the visitor center. And I think a lot of folks who are listening may not know about the visitor center because really it's not like Seaside or Cannon Beach or Astoria, which are much larger towns, of course. It's pretty much run by volunteers. And so let's talk about what the Manzanita Visitor Center is.
Now, the Visitor Center opened in 2014, officially January 2014. It is right next to the ocean, 31 Lanita Avenue, so about a block off the ocean. And we provide just about anything you would find in a visitor center, all the information about Tillamook County, Clatsop County, Manzanita, Nehalem, Wheeler in particular. Brochures on hiking, maps, all the good stuff that people are looking for when they're traveling.
And where is the visitor center located and what are the hours?
We are open 11 to 3, 6 days a week right now, but we're going to be expanding 10 to 4, 7 days a week, probably around the 4th of July.
And it's staffed only by volunteers?
I'm the coordinator, so I'm the paid staff. And then we have a team of anywhere from 10 to 20 volunteers, depending on the time of year. Great local folks who like to give their time and chat with people, and they're our perfect ambassadors.
And why do most people come to Manzanita? It's because it's again, when we talk about only 700 residents, it's I guess you could consider it sleepy and small.
A little bit, yeah. It's we only have, I want to say, maybe not even 100 hotel rooms total. We do have a lot of vacation rentals, which is appealing to a lot of folks who are looking for something a little more intimate, perhaps. But it's one of the few Oregon coast communities that's not, doesn't have Highway 101 directly coming through it, like Cannon Beach, for example. But so there's a little bit of that sleepiness. We're kind of tucked right below the shadow of Neocony Mountain. And then we've got the broad stretch of ocean and beach, which is about a 7 mile stretch of beach where you can just wander all day long and don't really feel like you have to do anything. In some other towns, there's a lot of hustle and bustle. We've got our lovely little shops, restaurants, and kind of more of a laid back atmosphere, even though we're going to be brimming with people here pretty soon.
Right, because the summertime is when all of our coastal communities are really full of visitors.
Exactly.
Although it sounds like you can't have a lot of them stay there, so do they just come for the day then or for a special events that are happening in Manzanita?
Well, like most communities, I imagine that people, if you haven't planned way ahead of time and made your reservations, that the summer is pretty much full. But we have several events that happen happen annually in Manzanita, and summertime is a big time for those.
And when you talk about the fact that there are visitors coming and it's your bread and butter, how do the locals feel about Manzanita being looked at as kind of a tourist community or
well,
a tourism place?
Yeah, it's as with any tourist community, you understand that tourism is how you make your money, and big summers can dictate how you're going to handle your winters. So this is the time of year everybody's gearing up for that. So it's kind of a split down the middle. We understand that it's how we make our living. At the same time, if you want to go get your mail on any given day, you have to do some pre-planning to find a parking spot, maybe go early in the morning. Or if you want to see the beach, maybe wait till the end of the day after everyone's gone to dinner.
Oh, of course. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about what happened in October of 2016.
It was only about 8 months ago, but it's still pretty clear in everybody's mind, I think, especially in town. A freak tornado whipped in off the ocean and kind of cut its way through the middle of Manzanita. It didn't quite touch down, hovered about 15, 20 feet off the ground. So there was a lot of roof damage, a lot of roofs being lifted up and slammed back down. There were several businesses in the heart of Lenita that a lot of folks are familiar with that were damaged to some extent. Some of them opened right away and others had to wait out with the insurance and other factors. There wasn't a horrendous amount of damage to homes. There was a lot, not to say that there wasn't some, but a lot of it had to do with trees and brush crashing into houses, falling on cars, things like that. I want to say that 2/3 of the city's trees are either damaged or knocked down or destroyed in some way. And so when you come to Manzanita, if you haven't been to Manzanita since last summer, for example, you're going to see a lot more sky. I think the biggest issue that we've had as far as the visitor center goes is for those folks who haven't been to town since last summer and they've seen some of this on the news, we've been getting a lot of phone calls and emails saying, well, gosh, can we still come to vacation in Manzanita? Are you still there? And that takes a lot of time and effort changing the perception that we're fine, we're good, and we're ready for summer.
I know, you know, the press, we've had, there was a fire in Astoria several years ago, and a lot of people thought, oh, well, we can't, that place is gone, and now we can't come. So you're right, you have to overcome the perception.
Yeah.
Because Manzanita is still thriving, people are still there, and in fact, this is a special week this week because...
Like I said, gradually, there were several businesses on Lenita that were severely damaged or to some extent. There was a couple that opened up right after the tornado, or shortly after the tornado. Manzanita Suites and Toylandia were able to get their stores back in shape relatively quickly, even though everybody had insurance issues to deal with. But the main building in the downtown section of at the crosswalk of Lenita and 4th Avenue was severe damage to one building that housed Cones and Coffee, Moxie Fair Trade, which folks might be familiar with from her seaside location, and Wisteria Chic. Those were all damaged and shut down to some extent for, we're going on 8 months here. So the building was completely redone. It's been remodeled. The landlord was able to get everything back together. And as of today, actually, when I was just driving by, all three doors are open, signs in the window saying grand reopening. It looks like business is finally getting back to normal.
So a special week this week with all of the businesses in Manzanita being officially open after being shuttered by the tornado. Did residents and businesses have an idea the tornado was coming, Dan? I mean, I know we had hail in Astoria, and I know there were some gusting winds. But so how did, when you say a freak tornado, I mean, how does that just happen up here?
That's still a good question. I think everybody was focused on that weekend. There was another big storm broadcast for later that weekend. So everybody was, oh, here comes our big, you know, fall winter storm that we always get. They were talking about high winds and stuff. But about 24 hours before that was supposed to happen, the tornado rolled in. And it was surreal. Coming from the Midwest, I haven't seen a tornado since I was maybe 8 years old. And I was getting ready to go to work, and I got a text saying there's a tornado in town. And I thought, well, right. But more and more texts started rolling in, warnings from the Tillamook County Sheriff and from our Emergency Volunteer Corps. And so, unfortunately, it was real. I'm not sure... To this day, it just happened so fast and so quick. I think that everybody, after the shock wore off, it was more like, well, okay, let's get this fixed.
I mean, how long did it actually, like, it just kind of dropped down and just cut a swath through the town in, what, 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
Yeah, it had to be somewhere in there, maybe. It was very brief, very fast and furious, as they say.
Hmm. And so then you lost a lot of trees. I know I was there a few days after the tornado, and I saw a lot of the the wreckage, and right. I saw a lot of the shops and a lot of the and trees were still on roofs and mm-hmm. things like that. So, and then when I went back there a few months later, I could still hear chainsaws and yep. people were cutting up the trees, and they were. But there were. It felt like there was the community really came together and they were working with each other mm-hmm. to try to clean up the damage and rebuild.
Yeah, it was an amazing cohesion of different segments of the community that came together. Just, you know, citizens, and then of course the city government, our emergency volunteer corps, which is a fantastic group of folks who spend a lot of time preparing for things like tsunamis and high wind storms and things like that, and they really cut their teeth on this one and showed how good they really are at just getting information out and directing people in traffic and things like that. They were just incredible. But yeah, there was a call to action. People, we need chainsaws, we need folks to move brush, we need trucks. And it all came together amazingly fast. And we even have, if I remember correctly, the fire departments in Seaside and Cannon Beach, I believe, assisted quite a bit. And we have them to be thankful for as well.
Because it was only Manzanita that had the tornado.
Yeah, they had later that day. In fact, right after that one, there was another one spotted at Oceanside south of us. But it never made landfall, fortunately.
I assume that insurance took care of, obviously, the businesses and the homes. Yeah. And was there any damage to city property?
Well, a lot of the trees, obviously.
Were on city-owned properties.
You know, the city hall was unscathed and for the most part. And the visitor center amazingly escaped it because it was almost in the path of it. So we got lucky. It could have been way worse. It came early in the morning when nobody was out waiting for a school bus. It came in the off season when nobody was wandering around getting ready to shop. It came before most of the shop owners were even in their shops. So it was a very, as far as disasters go, it was very fortunate timing.
Yes, October 14th of 2016. When we talked earlier about the fact that the town is only about 700 full-time residents, when it swells in the summer months, what mm-hmm. do you think the numbers would be?
Oh, I couldn't even venture to guess. 4th of July has got to be up in the way high thousands. It's and I'm just mentioning people that come for the day, you know, to see the parade, or folks who've been planning a vacation for, you know, a year and have a vacation rental, and they're inviting, you know, 10 of their family members to join them. So it is a lot of people in a small space for a extended period of time.
Which is a great segue into illegal fireworks awareness.
Right. I think this year, in years past, it's become more and more of an issue. We have a beautiful fireworks display that's put on at the end of the day on the 4th of July by a local citizens group. And they do a great job at that. And we applaud it, and we love people to go visit that and see that. But we're trying to push a little more fireworks courtesy, I guess you would call it, consideration and safety. Because as we know, illegal fireworks can not only cause physical damage, but there's pets to be considerate of. Lots of pets go missing or just have high anxiety this time of year. There's property damage. A couple years ago, we had an incident in the dunes that a fire was lit by, I want to say, an unintended beach fire. And it kind of damaged a couple of homes really severely up by the beach. Fireworks are no exception, and we're trying to keep a tab on that and let visitors know we want you to enjoy the 4th of July, but so do other visitors.
So really the issue is, and it's not just Manzanita, it's everywhere. It's
of course,
story.
Yeah.
It's
Cisa
everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's the idea that then that sometimes families, private parties mm-hmm. buy fireworks and then they do it in the middle of the street at 3 a.m. or whatever.
Exactly. And, you know, that's not fair to other vacationers. It's not fair to locals. It's not fair to our pets. And that's not even anything to say of, I think a lot of the 99% of the people are great, just as with any tourist destination. But there are the few who think, well, I can do whatever I want when I'm on vacation and there are no consequences. And, you know, if I leave a bunch of garbage on the beach from these fireworks, the ocean will just take it away.
Oh,
so that's we're worried about ecological aspects as well.
That makes sense, actually, yeah. Dan. So do you consider a sparkler, like when you talk about fireworks, do you mean like, because kids always like those little sparklers and things like that. I mean, what do you mean actual like bombs, kind of firework bombs?
You know, I'm not sure of the classifications, but basically anything that is you know, deemed as illegal. All you have to do is look on State Parks website, I believe, and they have a whole detailed list of the things that
so
you consider.
So sparklers probably are not illegal because they sell those.
Yeah, right? But at the same time, we also want people to be conscious of the fact that there's dry grass and it's a dry time of year, and there's dry yards. So,
well, education is a huge piece of helping, you know, visitors.
We just want visitors to enjoy themselves, but we also want others. We want everyone to enjoy themselves.
Okay, yeah. So then the word is to enjoy the fireworks display that is put on by the friends in Manzanita, which is a terrific one anyway. And then just don't do the other ones.
Yeah, please mind the noise and our pets and maybe some people who don't appreciate being awakened at 2 a.m.
Okay. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and my guest today is Dan Haig. Dan is the Manzanita Visitor Center Coordinator. The Visitor Center is a volunteer-run, for the most part, except for Dan, organization helping people vacation on the Oregon coast, specifically Manzanita, in healthy ways. And so we've been talking about fireworks and about the tornado. Let's move into the fact that there's a highway project that's, mm-hmm. is it almost finished? Or what's,
well,
where's the highway project?
They're getting near. They just reached, if you've driven by or on Highway 101 by Manzanita and through Nehalem and towards Nehalem, you'll see a lot of construction right in front of Manzanita. And they've recently shifted sides of the highway. In other words, they've paved the northbound lane, and it's ready, and they've shifted to the southbound lane. So you're going to see, when you come into Manzanita down Neocone Mountain, down 101, you're going to see a lot of construction signs and cones and things like that. So as traffic volume increases, I would just ask people to be aware that when you're coming from either direction, there's still quite a considerable amount of highway work right in front of Manzanita.
But it's about ready to be completed because you've been doing it for about, what, a year and a half or
so? Yeah, I think the plan is this fall, mm-hmm. from what I understand. So we're not quite there, but it's close.
But there's no impediment to getting to Manzanita.
Oh, no, not
at
all.
You absolutely can just, I mean, I was in Manzanita again maybe just a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And I mean, because I always love to go into Manzanita. I mean, I'd like to, there's the natural food store there. Uh-huh. There's the, you know, and of course the Hoffman Center. I mean, mm-hmm. Manzanita is well known for several things. I mean, I think a lot of people think about Manzanita, right. which is in the fall, and they think about the Hoffman Center. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about what the Hoffman Center is and what that adds to Manzanita.
Yeah, our Hoffman Center is something that we're extremely proud of and happy to be a central hub of our community. It's our arts and kind of our arts hub. They do tons of different programs, from pottery, clay studio, to writing lounge. Various authors come and visit and read from their work and hold workshops, painting classes. I think they're coming up with a mask, creating ceramic masks here pretty soon. So just about anything you can imagine in the arts realm, the Hoffman Center does. And they're even expanding a lot of their programs as we head forward.
Actually, I did do a one-day writing class mm-hmm. at the Hoffman Center several years ago. And didn't you all just finish having a writer's retreat?
We did. It was the first, what we hope is the first annual writer's retreat. A couple of weeks ago, we had two authors, Jenny Shortridge and Megan Cruz, who are both well-known Oregon authors, came down. And previous to that, the Hoffman Center launched its online writing course, as you would see in maybe online schools or things like that. And Megan and Jenny were teaching those classes online, and then it culminated in a writer's retreat for the whole weekend, where they got to get together, talk about their work, do prompt writing, get feedback from the authors, and then workshops, and then at the end of the day, open mic, and finished up on Sunday with a few more sessions.
I love that. I mean, I think that's just, I mean, because you the idea that you can have an intellectually stimulating experience in this town that most people think of as just, let's just go to the beach and we're just going to relax. But people, I think now more and more, they want a mixture of things.
Yeah, it's funny. They had a lady who was traveling through, and she was from Alabama, and she signed up on a whim for that writer's retreat and ended up absolutely loving it. In fact, I've had authors, some of the more well-known authors that have come there comment that, we don't have a facility like this in the big city that I live in, where everybody can get together and do these multi-art and cultural things. So we're very proud of the Hoffman Center.
What are some other things that are happening in Manzanita that perhaps our listeners don't know about?
Well, the summer, as with anywhere else, is a big time for events. We have the second annual Manzanita Music Festival coming up the weekend of July 21st. It's for 3 days, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. A multitude of, if you attended it last year, you'll see how well it was done. And this year they've added some new twists, or not twists, excuse me, but new levels to it. Multiple styles of music acts, from blues to country to rock and roll, just the reggae, the whole gamut of music, and crammed into 3 days in Manzanita.
Is it outside? Is it on the beach, or is it inside?
No, it's they have one stage up in Lanita Avenue that they're going to be doing, and then a second stage is going to be at Rex Champ Ball Field, which is out on 101 as you're heading south towards Nehalem, in CRD, which is in Nehalem, North County Recreation District. Recently worked on some upgrades on the field. They've redone the fence, the turf, a lot of the billboards. It's a great looking field now, and it's going to be the centerpiece for the music festival this year.
And is there food? Are there booths? I wasn't there.
There's a child's area, a kid's area, where they do things like face painting and other fun activities like that. They do, I'm not sure about the food situation and the drink situation this year, but they do have multiple, like I said, multiple areas where you can get in and listen to the music.
And at the same time as the Manzanita Music Festival, your second annual, there's also a beach run and walk.
Yeah, that's, I think in its 26th or 27th year. It's one of those, runners look for these kinds of events year round and, travel to them. And this one is a biggie out in this part of the world. So, it's the morning of the 22nd, which I believe is Saturday, and around 8 o'clock in the morning. Then the beach run walk makes some kind of circuitous route around Manzanita and the beach and comes back. And then they get to relax and enjoy the music festival that afternoon.
So that's a place to be toward the end of July.
Yeah.
And you can not only do something physical with the beach run and walk, but you can also be part of the Manzanita Music Festival. And when we talked earlier, you also mentioned that you have beach wheelchairs.
We do. It's kind of a unique and really, for lack of a better term, really cool service that we offer, because frankly, until they came to the visitor center, I had no idea they existed. They're wheelchairs designed like you would expect, but they have enormous balloon tires, which are slightly soft, which make it really easy for them to glide right over the sand. They're not motorized, so you have to have someone to push them for you, but I can tell you from experience loaning them out that they changed someone's life for a day. I don't want to exaggerate, but seeing some of the happy faces that we've seen on folks of all ages who previously weren't able to get out and experience the beach like other folks. So it's a real nice thing. They're free. You don't have to pay anything. We just need you to come in, do a little paperwork, or call ahead of time and reserve, and we can set you up and get you on your way.
So you can call the Manzanita Visitor Center.
Correct.
And you can reserve, and you have a couple of adult and one child.
Yeah, we only have three. They're extremely sought after, especially this time of year, as you would imagine. But give us a call at 503-812-5510, and we can certainly give you that information.
I know that could mean a lot to a family if they want to take their grandparents or someone who just is, of any age, and just get them out to the water's edge, because there's something different about going all the way out to the water.
Yeah, I never really realized. It's one of those instances where when I helped someone get in recently, I never really realized how much I do take that ability for granted, to just walk out whenever I want to and look at the ocean and touch the sand, and not being able to do that would be horrible. So for me personally, so to be able to help people do that, it's a very good feeling for everybody.
I would like to also address the idea of the challenges now in a lot of communities like Astoria and Seaside, I've heard as well, and Cannon Beach, and now and Manzanita, you've just told me, finding folks to work in all of these different businesses, that, you know, it's really tricky now to find employees.
Yeah, it is. And it's interesting going around Manzanita and seeing help wanted signs up, not so much seeing them up, but seeing how long they've been staying up for places that never used to have a problem finding folks to come work, even if it was just for the summer. I think an example that's been going around quite a bit that people may have heard of was Marzano's Pizza, our fabulous pizzeria down by the beach. They've been in business for years, and last year was the first year that they went to takeout only because they couldn't staff the dining room properly. And this year recently they've gone committed the whole way just to being a takeout pizza joint because they just don't have the staff numbers that they were used to in previous. And that's a microcosm of the entire town and frankly of the coast. I would imagine it's not so much the quality of employees or the number of employees, but employees don't have an affordable place to live.
Yes, and that's, of course, Gearhart is wrestling with that. Right. I mean, a lot of communities are wrestling with that about whether, you know, do the VRBOs take away, do the Airbnbs take away from housing for locals, for employees who need to find housing. And that's, I think that's going to be a challenge and a conflict for a while.
I think so. There's been several, Tillamook County has done several housing task force meetings where they've tried to bounce different solutions off and... I don't have an answer, and there's a lot of people smarter than me who don't have an answer, but there is still no denying that it's a huge problem.
If folks want to find out more information about Manzanita itself, mm-hmm. because obviously there are people who are working there, and there are businesses that are opening, right. and there are events that are happening, mm-hmm. and it's still a spectacularly gorgeous community.
Yeah.
With maybe a little more sky these days. How can people find out more information if they want to try to plan things or figure out what's happening?
Well, they can always. There's two ways. If you want to look up our website, it lists all the current events that are happening. We have a web calendar, and then there's also different sections on the website to point you in the right direction of what you're looking for, places to eat, stay, et cetera. And that's www.exploremanzanita.com. And if you want to get in touch with me and either find out more about wheelchairs or you want to find out more about the music festival or just any question, it's our email is info@exploremanzanita.com.
Okay. We just have a couple of minutes left. Dan, any last things that you would like the listening audience to know? I mean, we've talked about firework awareness and some of the events that are happening. And anything else you'd like the listening audience to know about Manzanita that we haven't discussed?
Well, summertime is the time. It's a fun time of year in Manzanita. People, when they're in Manzanita, they like to go outside and they like to stay outside. We have two spectacular state parks on either side of us, Oswald West to the north and Nehalem Bay State Park to the south, kind of sandwiching us in to our great stretch of beach. And when you come to Manzanita, there's no urgency. It's just kind of, we want you to wander. We want you to explore. Stick your head in a shop. Get yourself a bottle of wine. Take it easy and enjoy. Summertime is the time for fun, and we want people to have fun. Most of all, in Manzanita, we want people to be relaxed, and we want them to feel like it's home, because when you feel like it's home, then you care about it.
That's exactly right, and there are some reclassifications that people are looking at for, instead of calling people tourists, to call them temporary locals, because local people must be respected by the visitors, and we all have to work together in some ways.
So. Yeah, I think what struck me most is I recently attended the Oregon Governor's Tourism Conference, and there was a lot of discussion from people from the coast to Bend to Ashland to Pendleton about it's gone not so much as, okay, let's keep bringing tourists in. Let's manage what we have and teach them to love it as much as we do.
Exactly. To be responsible, to be respectful. Exactly. Dan, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
And I personally love Manzanita in the winter. I like it in the fall. I think of those of us who live here, we're very fortunate because we can visit it any time of year.
Yep.
But if you are there in the summer, then there are obviously things to do. But there's still, Manzanita happens in the fall. So
yep. Late in mid-fall.
So exactly. So check in with exploremanzanita.com. Thank you, Dan, so much. I'm so happy that the businesses are open now.
We are
and
too.
That you survived the tornado. And appreciate you being in the studio.
Thank
today.
You for having me.
Thanks, all of you who listened to this program. And my gratitude to Kate Brister for being the engineer today. And to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It's good for body, mind, and spirit. And then focus on the things that are going well in your life with gratitude, on feeling good. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you. for doing the best you can, and for being here now, in this moment, the only moment which exists, on the amazing planet we call Earth.